All right, welcome everybody to the Owning Your Health podcast. This is Dr. Kyle Lovelace and my beautiful wife,
Dr. Holly. Good to see you.
Yes, and we are here today to talk to you and help you, more than anything, become your own health expert. Our mission in life is to change the way people view and manage their health, pull people out of the medical system, get them into true health, or true healthcare. And really, I believe, and my wife does as well, that in the world we live in today, you have to become your own expert. You have to start to learn on your own and find out ways to be healthy on your own, because there's so much information out there, and really understanding the body, what health actually is, how the body works, is the key to really success in this long term. And so you want to continually be learning. Today, we're going to talk about what?
Raising healthy kids in a really sick world.
Yes, we're going to talk about raising healthy kids in a very sick world. And that's something that we've, over 12 years, helped a lot of people do, but we are helped a lot of people learn how to do. We don't raise their kids. We just teach them how. But we have helped ourselves with our two little girls. We have a 5-year-old, Eleanor Joy, and Isabel Grace, who is 2. And we have a baby on the way. If you're watching, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, go to our YouTube channel, Loveless Health Solutions, and you can actually watch the podcast as well, and vice versa if you're watching on YouTube. Go over to Owning Your Health podcast. And Dr. Holly has about 4 weeks left, 4.5 weeks
Maybe.
Left.
We'll see.
We'll see. Less or more. You never know. And we don't know what we're going to have. So what do you think it is?
It's like a 50-50 right now.
It's always a 50-50.
Well, yeah. Yes. I was saying at the grocery store, they always tell me it's a boy. And then at the office, everyone says, oh, I think it's another girl. And then they say, oh, Dr. Kyle's such a good girl dad.
That's why I like the grocery store. They have good food and smart people. We got to talk to our patients. They're just, their prophecy is not in alignment, I don't think.
I see.
I think it's going to be a boy. I'm excited for a baby boy. And if it's a baby girl, then...
we're excited too. And stay tuned. Hopefully this keeps you on the edge of your seats and you'll listen to all of our future podcasts.
Yes, so
you can find out.
If it's a girl, I said I want to name it Remy for Remington. So I'd at least have that. Yes.
No. It's an alcohol brand.
No, it's a gun. It's a hunting brand.
A gun or an alcohol brand.
I don't know about the alcohol brand. Yeah. So you just got to stay off the booze
more. Back to talking about raising healthy children without alcohol.
Yes.
Not only do we have a fantastic...
How many people do you know raise healthy kids without alcohol? Just kidding. Joke. We keep it Kava style over here.
Yes.
If you don't know what Kava is...
It's a great adaptogen.
You need to know. It is an awesome herb adaptogen or root, really.
However, if you're pregnant like me, don't drink it because it causes uterine contractions and can put you into labor.
So in a couple weeks, we'll give Dr. Holly some.
Yeah. Raising healthy children. We have two wonderful girls, but I want to reach out to an even bigger crowd out there. Not only do we have Eleanor, who's 5, and Isabel, who's 2, but Isabel also has Down syndrome and learning disabilities. And believe it or not, you can raise her to be super healthy, even though the medical world will put her as immune compromised and disabled. We don't believe that. We see her move mountains daily.
We could go into a whole podcast just talking about how ignorant the medical system is on this concept here.
Yeah.
When they say that she's immune compromised, but then they want to give her a vaccine, which is one of the contraindications for a vaccine is immune compromisation. It's crazy, but we won't go there. So
no, but if you're listening and you have a disabled child, this applies to them too, and you can actually find freedom within that.
Yes. And the good news is she's still on the what they call a normal scale of learning and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
She's on the end of it.
Keep telling ourselves that. She's tiptoeing on it.
She's doing fabulous.
Yes. So today, here's what we're going to talk about. Again, this is a concept that there's no way we could teach you everything about how to raise a healthy family. And the truth is, we don't know everything. But what we do know, we couldn't teach you within 15, 20 minutes of a podcast. So there's going to be multiple podcasts that we do on this. We'll probably do two or three more other ones that go along with this. But today, we're going to just dive into it, see where we get to, and have fun talking about it. And I hope you learn a ton about this. And please leave comments, like the podcast, share the podcast, review it. If you want to give us a 5-star review, that'd be awesome. If it's less than that, then just don't review it. Just kidding. All right. So before birth, that's what we're going to start with. When raising a healthy family, it doesn't start once the baby's born, or raising a healthy child, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start once the baby's born. It starts really before conception, but we're not going to go that far back.
No, I want to go that far back. Sick mamas produce sick babies. Yes. Sick daddies can produce sick babies too. And so sometimes with infertility issues, or if you're really toxic or you have your own health issues, really getting those things in alignment before you even conceive and have a child is going to be crucial and important. It doesn't mean that you can't. It just means that it's not going to set your children, future children, up for as much success or for being successful in actually conceiving and having children.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, I guess to raise healthy kids, we have to get to where you can make sure you have kids. So
yeah.
Your health right there, the hormones and the amount of stress you have. I mean, we'll do a podcast just on infertility or how to help them get pregnant more. So something we're actually really good at is helping people get pregnant. It's kind of fun to say.
And we're good at it ourselves.
Yes. We got lots of kids in the office that I can look back and say, hey, that, you know, that mom came in and wasn't able to get pregnant and came in and now they have kids. We also have moms that were on birth control that we talked to get off of birth control and they have kids. And so they weren't happy then, but they are now. So
glad we could be part of that prophecy.
Yep,
that's how
we roll. Yeah. All right. So
okay. So before
birth. Okay. So the baby is conceived. We mm-hmm. know we have a positive test, mm-hmm. a baby's coming, and where do we go now? So let's start at the beginning. So first thing, when someone finds out they have a baby, they typically want to get something like an ultrasound or things like that. So do you want to start there?
Well, initially, if you have a positive test, so if you peed on a stick and it's positive, you can do blood testing to check your HCG levels to see if it's a viable pregnancy and progesterone. So you don't have to do ultrasound so early. Those ultrasound waves have, there's research out there that they can have an effect on the brain development, and let's not interfere with neurodevelopment, especially in the first trimester in the early part. I'm not saying that to condemn anybody that's done that,
with Eleanor, we had an ultrasound and we did that.
Well, we had to.
We thought we had a miscarriage.
Yes, yes. There's cases that it's necessary, but I'm saying if you can avoid it, that would be helpful and healthier for your child.
So in the beginning, the first thing that forms in the body is the brain, and so that initial part is very important for neurology. And when you said there's some studies, there's a lot of studies on ultrasound, heating, and causing cell damage. Especially the 3D, I think they even 4D.
Well, the 3 and 4D, I don't believe that they do that until later on. Not that it's any better, but in the very, very beginning, they're not going to use a 3D and 4D. Okay, so let's talk about some simple stuff in terms of diet and supplements. It's super, super important that you're supporting your nutrients, especially in this first stage. And so they tell you to take folic acid, and what you really want to make sure you're taking is methylated folate. So the body sometimes and most of the time cannot break down the prenatal folic acid. It's a synthetic form of it, and so you're not actually giving it to your baby and absorbing it. You need to make sure it's a methylated folate that's in your prenatal vitamin, and that you, if you can get a prenatal vitamin in you, that's going to be the best. And if it's a whole food source, it's also going to be the best. I do know that some people experience so much nausea or hyperemesis gravidum, where you can't stop vomiting in the first stages. And if you just can't get it in, I understand. But if you can, that's going to be helpful and better. And then rest during these first stages. Your body's doubling its blood supply. It's building a human and it needs extra rest. And you typically in the first trimester experience a lot of fatigue. For me, it was extreme fatigue because I found out I had some other things going on. And initially we didn't know we were pregnant. That might happen to you guys too. Like you just go on with your daily lives and you're like, oh, wait, should I had a period?
so let's talk about how I came in one night from the office and sat on the couch. I would put the kids to bed. Then I sat on the couch and she sat on the couch and she tosses this pregnancy test in my lap and just looks at me. That was like,
That was our announcement.
That was her way of telling me for our first, she took me up to the mountains for a photo shoot. It was like this amazing experience. For the third, it was like, here we go.
Yeah.
So it was a surprise, but we were obviously in a good, excited place about it. So it's always a blessing for sure. Go.
Yes. So supplements, super important. On top of prenatals, I always take omegas. So good fats for myself. And I support my adrenals because my life is pretty chaotic. Sometimes 2 kids, 2 offices, job, life, husband, super supportive. I support my adrenals and I support my immune system with vitamin D and a few other herbs that also help it. And I just want to keep myself in balance and get as many nutrients and all of my systems working as much as possible to help baby. That leads me into making sure that you have enough time to just relax and bring peace. I wouldn't say that I did a good job of this in the first trimester. I could always aim to do better, but I think I'm tapping out after this baby. I don't know what I'm going to try again. But if you can manage your peace with stress-relieving activities, whether it's a walk, whether it's some yoga, some stretches, coffee date with a friend, a book, even a movie, something.
Minus
the coffee and the caffeine, yes. I don't drink caffeine anyways. I forget to tell people not to do that because it can cause uterine contractions.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned prenatals, you mentioned omegas. So just give a couple brands because I know people are always like, which one? Because there's so many out there. So just tell them what you did.
Well, interestingly enough, I really loved Mega Food, Baby and Me. But I was super nauseous.
That's the prenatal.
And Nordic Naturals for the omegas and Wellness Way for vitamin D and the immune supports. But interestingly enough, I also have food allergies because I've had challenges with my gut all along this way. And a lot of the nutrients in the whole food baby and me vitamin were on my food allergy list, and they were just exacerbating my nauseousness. And so I had to switch over to, I'm using Claire Labs now, which is more effective, and I don't get as nauseous, and that's helpful.
So it's individual for everybody, and that's totally really important to understand. And the other thing I wanted to say is, as we're talking, I'm thinking it's really important that you find a natural healthcare provider. I know you want an OB, and that's fine to get that. I know people are just in that world of it feels more secure to have an OB. Most people don't realize that we actually have the highest infant mortality rate in America, and our actual way of delivering and taking care of a baby all the way up to birth is actually one of the least effective ways.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas midwives are actually way more successful across the world in terms of having a healthy baby. So we're a huge fan of midwives over an OB. But with that said, an OB is fine, but you need to have somebody that is trained in nutrition and trained in overall health. They're not in medical school, they just don't get that training.
Yes, they learn about tips. Drugs when we learn about nutrition.
They get some tips here and there, but I've seen the stuff that they give patients to come in with, and some are great. I'm not saying all OBs. A good majority, though, aren't going to really know what to give you. They're going to give you a lot of synthetic vitamins and things like that. So it's very important that you get a good natural healthcare provider that you trust, maybe that you got referred to, and that you can connect with so you can get a plan in place so you're not trying to navigate this whole thing by yourself. Now, if it's your third, fourth, fifth baby, maybe that's a little bit different story. You become...
We have moms in the office with their fifth baby, and I got to introduce them to how to do birth and pregnancy totally different. We have a testimonial. I don't know if that's popped up for Angel. This is her fifth baby.
Tell her story. This is awesome.
Completely different this time around because she decided to make some of these minimal changes.
But tell where she started, like rheumatoid arthritis. And her last four births. Last 4 births she had.
She has an autoimmune rheumatoid arthritis, and she was on autoimmune medication up until even conceiving. And within the office, she was able to calm down a lot of her symptoms because the medication wasn't necessarily doing that. And then just overall her joint pain. And as a little bit more funny than that, she asked you what was the next step for her to get off of her autoimmune medication and how to get better. And you told her to get pregnant.
As a joke, I said, well, if you get pregnant, that'll shift your immune system.
It will.
There's a good possibility this whole thing will just change for you.
It will. And actually, if you're listening and you have an autoimmune disorder, because of what the pregnancy does in shifting your Th1 and Th2 immunity, it actually can shift it in a positive direction. And if you do a lot of good things throughout your pregnancy and post, there's potential for it to stay and for the autoimmune to not come back.
For that same reason, though, the autoimmune response, someone with an autoimmune response can actually have a lot of trouble getting pregnant.
Correct.
Because of
correct.
That, because correct. The immune system will not let the baby actually form. And so we're not saying go get pregnant to get rid of your autoimmune. There's ways,
I mean.
Much ways to do it. I was more of a joke for her. She was saying that she was doing really good moving forward, getting better. And I just kind of said that, but it was funny because I said that. And then the next week
she came in and said she was pregnant.
So tell how awesome her pregnancy's been. Tell more about her story there.
So her previous pregnancies, she gained a lot of weight, tons of swelling, really halfway through the pregnancy was not able to do a lot of things. And just overall just felt crummy the whole time and just exacerbated, I think, most of the autoimmune. And she even for every single pregnancy, she told me she had to go up a size in shoes because her feet would swell and her feet would expand. And so she had in advance purchased some shoes and she was really excited about them. And then her feet didn't swell this time and her feet didn't grow. And all of the things that she expected, the side effects of carrying with an autoimmune and on medications like that didn't happen this time around. And she also was able the whole pregnancy, because baby was born last week, not having to take her autoimmune medications.
Yeah. We'll have her her video testimony on the YouTube channel probably shortly, but cool stuff. Yeah. So we're at that place. All right. So we're at diet supplements. Now, what do you eat during pregnancy? Because it is different than, it's not a no sugar diet. It's not,
right.
When you're not pregnant, you want to be healthy. So you don't eat as much sugar. You don't eat as much grains, but you're growing a baby and glucose is crucial for that process. So
right. So you don't want to be doing keto or pulling everything out when you're pregnant. It is super important that you pull out the recommended fishes that have lots of mercury in it, your mushy cheeses or soft cheeses, your deli meats. And those are for other reasons. There's heavy amounts of metals or toxins or bacteria or viruses and those things that your baby can't kill. It won't hurt you because your immune system's strong enough, but your baby's immune system hasn't matured enough to be able to offset those. So avoiding those is super important. When it comes to nutrition, you need healthy carbs to keep you moving through. So sweet potatoes, brown rice, quinoa,
Or organic jasmine rice.
You're going to need those healthy carbs for baby and for you. You'll feel better if you're and you're using oatmeal. I'm still 100% gluten-free, and that makes me feel the best. I actually had a surprise diagnosis of Hashimoto's in this pregnancy, and gluten can induce things like that. Also, just the change in your immune system, your adrenals being off, extra stress can create that condition too. We can talk about that on a later date, but
let me share this. So across the board, everyone should take gluten out. That's, everybody has a negative impact with that. But the Hashimoto's stemmed from before we got pregnant with Eleanor, you had a parasite and you've been pregnant or breastfeeding since.
And I haven't been able to kill the parasite.
She's never been able to really do anything about it. So it's been kind of a bit of a struggle. And that's why this third pregnancy is like, oh, it's just getting ready to
kill that little stinker.
Yeah, to fight these things. But she's awesome. And she's a warrior for hanging in producing amazing, beautiful kids.
Okay, back to nutrition. not just carbs, though. You're going to need, I'm a proponent for eating meats to get your B vitamins. If you're vegetarian, you certainly can navigate that or support that with a whole food B vitamin supplement as well. It's not always the same, but a good source of meats. Everything is organic and grass-fed and super clean in our house because I'm not willing to let those toxins in. And then veggies and fruits. It's not super far off our anti-inflammatory nutrition.
You just add in a little bit more carbs.
Yeah.
And well, let's just carbs and vegetables. So you can eat lots of vegetables. It's all carbs. But what I meant is more of the grain type stuff, like the higher glucose releasing stuff, like the jasmine rice or the mm-hmm. oatmeal. Mm-hmm. And you got to listen to your body. You're going to find yourself craving those things, and it's okay to have them. And for some people that have followed a strict diet that and they're really healthy, or they follow keto or stuff like that, carbs have become the enemy. And they're not necessarily the enemy. It's just our world has been so refined grained and things like that. So it's quality.
Well, we don't want refined grains. Yeah.
It's quality grains.
Yes, quality.
So yeah. Okay. So now that next step, you talked about diet, you talked about supplements. And before we end up today, we're only getting to before birth, but that's okay. peace, I think, is the most important part. I know for our first baby, Eleanor, you practiced and adjusted patients and saw patients pretty much till the end of it. Mm-hmm. And it really made the birth hard. I think that was the reason it took so long. We ended up actually transferring from our house to the hospital and had a midwife at the hospital deliver because she was backwards and the back pain and everything that went with that. So just talk a little bit about, I know this is hard for a personality like yours who has a business, has two mm-hmm. businesses, mm-hmm. Has two kids, mm-hmm. and just really wants to make a massive difference in the world. It's hard for you to step back and say, okay, this season needs to be different. I have to mm-hmm. stop all that. And my season right now is changed, and I'm going to have to find a way to just calm down, have peace, and let things go, even if it feels like it's falling apart.
Yeah, I don't have a solid answer to that, nor would I say I've done a good job, but I've been intentional about it, so I think it's been better. Making time for myself, letting things go, I just laugh. I'm like, really? Like, could all of these things go wrong at this very moment? Okay, fine. Well, there's nothing I can do about it in this moment, and me getting all worked up at this time isn't going to change it either. Whereas my previous personality would like high alert, stress happen. I need to fix this immediately. I'm going to do everything I can to take care of it. And in this stage, I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, that happened.
Well, that's faith versus fear.
Yeah, I guess so.
And so your faith grows, and it's, you know, your faith is in Christ, and you know that no matter what, business falls apart, everything falls apart,
yeah,
you still, it's fine.
It's right? Going to be fine.
What's most important is that baby's born healthy and that you're healthy.
Yes.
Those are the two things, only two things that matter during pregnancy. And I hope if you're listening, you heard that, because that is, if you can grasp that and say, okay, what's most important, simplify it down. It's that I'm healthy and that the baby is healthy. Nothing else is important in these next months. And you get your spouse or partner on track with you there, and y'all make that the priority. And I would say we haven't done the best job. We work on it. We remind ourselves. We'll be, you know, she'll be out there working, doing all these things. Like, hey, we got to rest. And so you just got to keep reminding yourself, but it's very important that you're intentional about it, because it does matter. And that goes with working out too.
I would talk about working out.
Crazy CrossFitters and things like that when they're pregnant. And that sounds like fun. And it looks like fun. You look like a warrior out there, holding weight over your head with a belly sticking out. But the problem is it's not healthy. It's
for the
stress.
Baby.
It's a physical stress in the body, and it makes it harder for that whole process to happen. Now, can you do that and have a baby that's healthy? Yes. But again, it's another stressor, and there's no reason for it. Movement is key during pregnancy, not necessarily heavy workouts.
I totally had to change my mindset with workouts. Workouts have been a stress reliever for me. I would love to achieve goals, meet benchmarks, and do really hard things in a workout.
She's a college soccer player and ran marathons.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. But now was not the time, and I really had to change my mindset, because still part of me is like, no, but I need to do that to calm down right now, or I want to do that. That's like something that makes me happy. But I've had to find peace and joy in the 15 to 20 minute pregnancy workouts, where I move my arms a little bit, I move my legs, and I don't actually sweat that much, so I can go back into the office as soon as I've done it, or
kind of
a walk.
It's funny to watch, because it's a YouTube video.
I use a lot of YouTube videos, or just like pick a workout and do it, and I think they're silly, but you know what? They are perfect for this time and space. And for some people, that's exactly what they need, because maybe you haven't been working out. I also don't think that's a good idea. It's super important that you maintain muscle tone and that you're still getting movement. That's going to create circulation and blood flow. It's going to help tone your muscles so that you can actually have a healthy birth and delivery, because you need those muscles to birth. And then also carrying the baby, you need all those muscles as well. Oops.
You're just like...
all over the place.
This
pregnant.
This talking. You're used to using your hands to talk, so you're just punching everything on the table while you talk here. She's excited about it. All right. So we're going to end up on this show today, but we're going to come back on the next show and continue this same topic. We're going to start talking about the birth process, home versus hospital, midwife versus OB, mm-hmm. vaginal versus C-section. We're going to talk about vaccines, just a slight bit, not a lot. And we're going to talk about how do you navigate that process throughout. So, hey, thanks so much for listening today. I hope you got a lot out of this. I hope you're starting to move into that becoming your own health expert. And this is Owning Your Health. Hey, go into the comments in the section below, and we'll have our YouTube channel. We'll have our, if you're on YouTube, our podcast information. We'll also have on there the ebooks. So we have an inflammation ebook.
Get the ebook. It's great.
10 ways to tell if you're inflamed and 10 ways
short, to straight reduce to the inflammation point
in your body. That is the key to health, is keeping your immune system in a good, healthy place.